You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Season with Peter Schrager is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Season with Peter Schrager. We have now entered the month of April, which is draft season, S-Z-N. It's my favorite time of year. And as I promised in our last podcast, although Good Morning Football is not on the air during draft season, I will be churning out content and a lot of it will be through this podcast here. I'm joined by the great Aaron Wong Kaufman. Aaron, how was your Easter weekend and how have you been, my friend?
Pretty good. I mean, it was unlike today. It was a pretty beautiful time in Brooklyn and New York. I spent some time in Prospect Park, went for some runs. You know, got some good outdoor time finally, which I feel like
it's been
a little cold. So,
can I ask you, have you been caught up in the Caitlin Clark hysteria at all?
Caught up? I mean, am aware of it. Yep. I will admit, I am more closely following NBA right now than I am March
Madness. Interesting. Really?
Typically for me, like once the NFL ends is when I really get into the NBA. And like I don't watch a ton of NBA games during the NFL season, but once NFL season ends, like then I'm like full in on watching NBA. And I think there are a lot of great storylines there. I have just watched clips and highlights of Clark.
I watched the full game. Full game last night, LSU, Iowa. She's unbelievable. Yeah. And I've been a fan of her for some time. And not name dropping here, she and I text quite a bit. The reason being, and this goes back 3 years to the combine, the women's Big Ten tournament was in Indianapolis, I guess 2 years ago. It wasn't last year, it was a year before. And Iowa was staying in the same hotel as me. And I'm at the bar and the Iowa athletic director or the SID, whoever it was, and I start talking and she's talking to me about, you know, Caitlin loves the Chiefs. She loves Patrick Mahomes. She loves it all. So I reach out to Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm like, are you aware that Caitlin Clark absolutely loves Mahomes and the Chiefs? And he goes, yes, we've been aware of it, but I've never had a chance to connect. And then I got through this SID in contact with Caitlin Clark. I put her in contact with Brett Veach. We have a text chain, the three of us, and Veach is like her biggest cheerleader. Obviously, you see her in all these State Farm ads. She is a legit Chiefs fan. She went Christmas Day, if I'm not mistaken, and like let us all know that she was going. They lost to the Raiders that day, but Caitlin Clark is no joke a football fan, knows her Chiefs inside and out, and there's like pictures of her like from her childhood wearing I don't even know which player, probably like a Priest Holmes jersey or something. But
isn't she from Iowa though? She's not even from Kansas
City. She's not from Kansas City. There's no like geographical connection. I'm sure there is some connection. Yeah.
I'm not from Buffalo and I'm a Bills fan, so I get that. Sure.
Totally.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So she loves the Chiefs. And I tweeted last night, I said, she's Mahomes. She has 10 threes and 41 points. And like everyone knows she's going to do it to you and she does it anyway. And the amount of haters, I love it. People are like, she hasn't won shit yet. And I'm like, well, they're like, I mean, she's taking this Iowa team past the defending champions to the Final Four. And last year she went to the finals. They're like, nope, until she wins a chip, she ain't Mahomes, bro. I'm like, all right, you know what? I respect that. If we're going to talk about women athletes and in a fair and equal way with men's athletes, we judge these NFL players by their chips and by their championships. And in this case, until Caitlin Clark gets one, maybe two, maybe three. Maybe we shouldn't put her in the same breath as Mahomes. Real quick,
but hey,
personal
story. The one complaint about the comparison is that she hasn't won a championship. That's pretty amazing. That's like
good, right? Like, you know, it's like, yeah, no one's saying like, no, she's not as athletically gifted or right, she's not right, as great an ambassador of the sport. Yeah. I love watching her. I loved watching the UConn shooter yesterday, Paige Brookers, who, by the way, is coming off multiple knee injuries and is doing, carrying this team on her back. So I'm in on the women's tournament, but I have to tell you, the men's tournament has been such a love story for me and my son. This is going to get sentimental. So he's 7 years old. I get the news that Good Morning Football is going on hiatus and there's a move and there's relocation and it's a lot. And it's emotional, and I don't know how to tell him. I really haven't told him. We're trying to figure it all out, like how we talk about this. But then the tournament starts, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, Mel, let me explain to you. He's 7 years old. Let me explain to you what a bracket is. So he fills out the bracket with me, and he's got some upsets, and like he has UConn and Purdue, and he's like super into both teams. And we go on vacation to South Carolina, and this is like such like lifetime memories. And I don't know why, and I sound like Mad Dog Russo here, but these NCAA tournament games start at 10 o'clock at night. Like, it's completely insane. I don't know who stays up for these games, but yes, these games are late night games, fine. We're all in the same hotel room. We got the baby in a crib. We got my son. I'm like, we can't have the music on. We can't have the sound on, but we can do it mute. Mommy's going to try to go to bed. And he's in this little cot, and he's staying up till midnight watching Alabama Clemson staying up, and he's into it. And he wakes up the next morning. And here's the best part. We're in a no money free bracket on Yahoo where it's just our family. It's my wife, him, and me. And he's in first place and he's excited. But there's this little tab that says leaderboard. And if you click on that tab, it is everyone who's put a bracket in on Yahoo. My son is following this as if it's the NFL playoffs and standings and tiebreakers. And he's like, Dale's in first place right now, but Dale actually has Alabama, you know, beating UConn Alabama beating UConn. So Dale's not going to win. And there's this guy named Ed. All right. And I feel like if I was still writing a sports chart, like I would write like Mitch Albom piece or a Rick Riley piece on this. Ed on the Yahoo leaderboard, Ed has NC State in his final four. Then he has NC State beating UConn in the NCAA finals. And Ed right now is in first place. Mel is obsessed with Ed's bracket. Every morning wakes up, he's like, is Ed still in first? I'm like, yes, there hasn't been any games since NC State won and beat Duke. So Ed, if you're a listener of the season and you have the number one bracket in all of Yahoo right now, because you're the only person anywhere who's got 11th seed NC State, know that you've got a fan in my son and a fan in me. I would love to meet Ed. And Mel thinks it's so funny that his name is just Ed. It's not some crazy bracket like, you know, we all have our bracket names. He's just Ed. So Ed, Yahoo, number one, which is a good segue to our guest right now, as Ed has NC State and maybe the most captivating college basketball player in recent history. This DJ Burns, he's listed at 6'9", 275 pounds, big body. He doesn't jump. He just scores and he's got incredible footwork and uses his, as Bill Rafferty says, his derriere to his maximum ability. I love watching him play. I had a tweet saying that a general manager and a scout, multiple ones actually, were talking to me about if he had a pro day, that people would show up, and it blew up on Monday. And I figured who better to have talk about DJ Burns as an NFL prospect than a guy who was a front office member of six different Super Bowl teams and has won four of them and runs the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. It's a pleasure to do this podcast with you, Aaron. Jim Nagy's great. Can't wait to talk to him about DJ Burns, an NFL prospect, coming up after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guest this week is a dear friend of mine and one of my favorite people to talk NFL draft, but also football in general. We've had him on before on the season with Peter Schrager. He is the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's an 18-year NFL scout, and he's a 4-time Super Bowl champion as a front office member. Mr. Jim Nagy, welcome back to the season with Peter Schrager.
Peter, thanks for having me back on. It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is going to be fun. We are less than a month away. We are now officially in April, and I plan on having you on multiple times in the lead-up of the draft. But I specifically wanted to have you on because of a tweet that I put out yesterday morning that I didn't realize would cause a maelstrom of vitriol, support, attention. I've been asked to go on no less than 20 different talk radio shows over the last 48 hours over a tweet that I had. In fact, I will read you my tweet that I had, as it's, I think it's the last tweet I've put out there. And if you're not on Twitter, I'm sure you can gather what I was referring to. Here is my tweet. April 1st, spoke to and texted multiple scouts and GMs about North Carolina State big man DJ Burns as an NFL offensive tackle prospect over the last 24 hours. Fact, I did. He is listed at 6'9", but he's probably 6'7". He's got A-plus footwork, would get a big turnout and potentially money if he participated in a pro day or workout the week after the Final Four. By potentially money, I meant could get drafted or could get signed as a undrafted free agent. I put that tweet out, not thinking anything of it. It has 12 million impressions, 2,400 reposts, and over 1,000 comments, most of them assuming it was either an April Fool's gag or I am some sort of idiot for suggesting as much, which is what is the nature of online. Now, yesterday, Jim Nagy, who I trust more than anybody when it comes to NFL draft and scouting and the like, posts the following tweet. Got text from a GM, an assistant GM, and a college director within an hour of posting this last Friday night. There is NFL interest in DJ Burns, and it is a real thing. And last Friday night, you posted, someone said, anyone else having trouble watching NC State big man DJ Burns and not thinking about him kick sliding and pass protection or getting out on pulls? Can't just be me. And then a few hours later yesterday, you wrote, I don't do lame April Fool's posts. Jim, the reaction to your tweet suggesting him as just a potential offensive lineman in the NFL was what?
Well, a couple of things here first, Peter. Like, mine got a lot of traction, but not 12 million like yours did. I don't have quite the following. It's kind of a sickness for football people. You can't watch hoops without your brain going to what could this guy be on a football field. And so, yeah, I threw that out last Friday night. And again, three buddies hit me up like, hey, man, I'm watching the game. I was thinking the same thing. So many things have to happen for this guy to be a football player. I'm not saying he's going to be on an NFL football field next fall. That's not what I'm saying. But with that frame, with that body type, I'm with you. They list him at 6'9". I'm guessing NFL scouts would probably get him at 6'7". Yep. He's probably not the 275 he's listed at. He's probably north of 3 bills. Yep. But it's just an exercise you do, man. You watch, you know, kind of a long 6'3" guard with long arms, D'ing guys up, and with great movement, lateral movement, and reactiveness. I mean, you think, oh, well, what that guy looked like at corner,
right? Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I just threw that out in the middle of March Madness because I don't watch a lot of basketball anymore.
Yeah.
And saw this DJ Burns guy doing his thing, and it's kind of blown up. I mean, yesterday Bleacher Report picked up my thing, and next thing you know, my son texts me like, "Hey, Dad, you're in our buddy's group chat right now. Like, what's going on?" So it's been kind of crazy.
It's a perfect storm of a little bit of a lull in the draft season. And then this incredible Cinderella ride, and you and I as football people, and I saw several different football people, and my phone also blowing up with not just NFL fan GMs saying, I would do anything to get my hands on just to see what a raw, you know. So what really spurred my tweet was, I don't know his title. He's at a organization. He's been there for years, and he's the number two guy there. I don't know the official title. I said to him, am I crazy in that this guy could have a pro day workout and NFL teams would flock to it? And he said, yeah, 100% NFL teams would flock to it. And he can make quite a bit of money. And he started listing names. He was like, Jai Lewis at George Mason was not even close to as mobile and as gifted footwork wise as this guy. And he got a tryout and team showed up. And you go through it, whether it be Mo Alley Cox or whether it be in recent years, George Fant out of Western Kentucky. There is a place in the Rico Gathers out of Baylor. These were college basketball players in the tournament. And maybe it makes NFL Luddites and NFL knuckleheads like us look like we're, you know, our heads in the sand, and it takes an NCAA tournament run to notice these guys, because at Winthrop, he was the conference player of the year. It's not like he wasn't doing it, but sometimes on the grand stage, when you have a performance like this, it does open eyes and people start thinking in football terms. And I will put my name on it, and I think I'm pretty reliable on this stuff. If he was to have a pro day next week, there would be teams that would show up. And I think there might be a full arsenal of teams showing up. Am I wrong?
You are 100% right, Peter. Just to unpack a couple of those things, those names you talked about. When I was with the Seahawks, we had Mo Alley Cox walking the halls on a 30 visit this time of year after his pro day. He was up into the building. We got George Fant as an undrafted free agent. If I could go back, like, I got to hit up some guys in Seattle to see if they can send me his pro day video.
Let me hear. So he's at Western Kentucky. He played, I want to say, 1 year of college ball. He did play football, right?
He did. He put on a helmet. But he barely played. And we put him through a tight end workout at the pro day. And all I remember is the red zone drill. They were throwing him red zone fades. And here's this guy that's like, at the time, 280 pounds, maybe, just getting off the ground. It was unbelievable. The body control, the leaping ability. And, you know, long story short, now, whatever it is, 10 years later, he's been in the league forever and he's been a tackle. They, you know, we put a bunch of weight on him. And George just had a great NFL career. I mean, the guy started a ton of games. So, no, the league would show up. And the other thing I'll say, after all this stuff happened yesterday and all this, your stuff's catching fire, a buddy of mine who's a scout that lives in the research triangle there in North Carolina, really close to Raleigh, he texted me. He was like, man, you are killing me right now with these tweets. He's like,
that was his plan, secret?
His hope was NC State gets bounced in the first round or in the first couple rounds.
Yep.
And then he was going to try to sneak in and get over there and work him out himself and, you know, stash the guy away and sign him after the draft. He's like, well, now that's not in the cards, because you're right. If they had a pro day, man, over half the league would probably be there, I would guess.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And you said it when you were talking about it. We're not suggesting he won't have a fine NBA career. We're not suggesting he's limited and basketball is not a future. We're just saying, you see that body, you see how nimble he is, you see the way he moves in the paint. That is offensive lineman footwork, man. That all that stuff that he's doing, the drop step, all that stuff, that is stuff that offensive line coaches spend years trying to develop. You see it already with that.
Yeah. You and I aren't NBA scouts. I have no idea what I'm looking at, you know, when it comes to the projection to the National Basketball Association. And I'm sure he could play overseas. There's a lot of basketball probably, but all you and I were on the same page. Like, it's the whole curiosity thing, is what would it look like with pads on? That's all it was.
That's all it is. Now, what would it take then from this stage, going from now, put on your front office hat. Say they lose or they win. Say they win. Fine, you know, whatever. They beat, I think they, who does NC State play? Oh, they play Purdue. So it's him and Zach Edey, which I am excited to see. Let's say they lose on Saturday. And let's say he has a pro day. What would be the workout you would put him through if you were to be the person who was at the pro day and wanted to actually see him do football exercises?
Yeah, great question. It's going to have to happen quickly. You know, with NIL stuff, I'm sure he has an agent. Now, that's probably not an NFL certified agent, contract agent. I'm sure there's a lot of those guys right now that might be scrambling to get away to DJ Burns right now. But it's going to it would have to come together quickly because we got the draft here in, you know, less than a month. But I would try to do all like a full workout. I've run a 40, do the shuttles, bench press. I don't know. The guy probably hasn't been lifting a bunch in season, although teams would love to know how strong he is. I mean, that's going to be that's a big component of it as well.
Height and weight, right? You'd measure him.
Oh, yeah. You'd certainly measure him. You'd do all, you know, a three cone, short shuttle, vertical, broad jump, 40 yard dash, all like standard pro day stuff. And then just have him go through an offensive line position workout. I've seen people say, well, what about tight end? That doesn't look like a tight end body type to me. But I would have him slide and you know, redirect and pass set and, you know, get out on pull, see him open his hips up and get out and run, all that stuff. I'd see him, you know, pop a bag and see. Now, I did hear that he has played football. And that's
Eighth grade, I was told.
At least he knows where, you know, thigh pads go in his pants and everything. At least he's put on pads before, because the guys that have made the transition successfully, most of them have played. You're going back to like Antonio Gates and Jimmy Graham, like those guys had played football in high school. So we would see, but it would be fun. But yeah, I would put him through just a normal standard pro day workout.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some like, do you remember Quentin Rollins played point guard at Miami of Ohio? And then I think the Packers drafted him in the second or first round as a corner. Like there's been guys who have played high levels, obviously at both. And we can go through the NFL history of you know, whoever it is, there's a long litany of guys that have played it. But I look back at like Vita Vea had a very very decorated high school basketball career. Quentin Nelson, I believe, went to Red Bank Catholic or Red Bank Regional in New Jersey and was like an all-state player. Like, it's not unprecedented for guys who played high school ball to then make the transition. What is unprecedented is to not play any college football. And yet, right. Let you tell me, Jordan Mailata didn't play a snap of football his entire life and got drafted, wasn't just an undrafted guy, by the Eagles in the seventh round and is now one of the best offensive tackles in the sport because Jeff Stoutland coaches him up.
Yep. No, he came to mind yesterday. I have done a couple podcasts and radio shows like you talked about. Mailata came up. He would be a developmental player, right? It would take 2 or 3 years probably. And what we don't know, the toughness thing is probably the biggest component that we don't know, right? And I love some of the Charles Barkley stories about when he went out to play football one day in high school and coach is like, all right, Charles, we'll see you tomorrow. He's like, no, you won't. I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm not doing that anymore. So, it's just fun stuff to think about.
Pete Prisco, who is polarizing to many online, is one of my favorite guys because he says what he thinks and Pete's just always been himself. He's real. He said, slow it all down, you know, there's football tough and there's basketball tough, and we have no idea if he's football tough.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, Pete nailed it. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And again, a lot of these projections have been tight ends. A lot of these projections that have hit have been, you know, the Mo Wiley-Coxes, the Jimmy Grahams.
Yeah.
That's a different position. You can flex those guys out, right, and make those guys pass catchers. I mean, if DJ Burns hits, he would hit as an offensive lineman. And there are more finesse tackles than others, and there's power players, but there's an element of physicality regardless if you're on the line of scrimmage. So that is the great unknown.
Your buddy who lives in that area was trying to keep it quiet. Do you think there's a lot of those in the draft, or there's like, hey, this is a little undercover gem that no one else has that I know, and we're not going to publicize it, but might not be on the radar and plays basketball. Like, is there someone dedicated to that at each team? I don't know how front offices work, but someone put a tweet out who said, forget what team. It might've been Denver or New England. And it was like, since 2022, this guy's been hired and his job is to look at all college basketball players and try to find the guys, you know, the the square for the round peg that maybe the sport is wrong and we can match him up and get him to football. Is that a dedicated job in a front office?
I've never known it to be a dedicated job. That's a really good question. You know, speaking to the guy that's up there, I mean, when they're in your backyard, you might take your kid to a college basketball game and notice them or something like that. But these NFL scouts don't have a lot of time to be on watching college basketball on television. That's one thing. I'll say this. After the Mo Ali Cox year and we had him up to Seattle, one of the guys in our department in Seattle, you know, one of the upper level guys, assigned it to all the scouts. They broke up the country by area scout and did a comprehensive study of, you know, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how analytically he broke it down, like what level of basketball player they had to be statistically. I don't know how he found him, but he ran searches of guys that did play high school football that mm-hmm. were also like starting level basketball players. And we had to make calls. We had to make calls to the basketball programs at schools, which was really weird that year, you know, to be reaching out to like directors of basketball operations. Those weren't calls I was used to making. And I don't know if they still do that, but I know at least for a couple of years up in Seattle, we did that.
I love that because it shows thinking outside the box and creativity. Being a football, you know, media guy, I'm not going to say I'm a football guy, but a football media guy. There was always this sensitivity where they'd be like, well, if Allen Iverson played football, he would be the best. If LeBron James played wide receiver, he'd be the best wide receiver of all time. And time again, football people would say, slow down. You know, is there a threat almost to the football community when you hear someone like me tweet out DJ Burns could be an offensive tackle in the NFL? Like, is it insulting to those who dedicate their lives to the position?
Peter, it shouldn't be. And you are a football guy, dude. You sat down here at our 75th anniversary thing and just you knew all our 75th guys' career highlights and everything. You're a football guy. It shouldn't be threatening. And you know, to the LeBron thing, like I'll talk about Jimmy Graham a little bit. So okay. I scouted Jimmy Graham when he was coming out of Miami. They had three tight ends that year. I think one was Clive Warford. I can't remember who the other guy was, but they were all good players. Yeah. I was there in August and we're watching an edge set drill, beginning of practice, you know, pads are popping, you know, it's basically tight end against defensive end and Jimmy's getting ragdolled all over the place. And there was a longtime scout, Joe Collins from the New York Giants. He's retired now. I love Joe. And he looked over at me and he's like, that basketball player is going to be the best one. And I'm like, Joe, the guy that's just getting tossed around right now is going to be the best one. And then they broke that drill. They went off and did like 7-on-7 or routes on air with the quarterbacks. And then you saw Jimmy, you know, move and break. And I was like, okay. I looked at Joe. I'm like, you might be onto something. And he was like, Jim, I cheated. I was here yesterday for practice too.
He saw it. He saw him dominating.
But think about this. So Jimmy Graham has, you know, kind of a borderline Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Who knows what I saw a tweet the other day. Like, what would Jimmy's career look like if the Saints never traded him to the Seahawks?
Totally.
For Max Unger, if he stayed with Drew Brees his whole career, what would his numbers look like? Regardless, he's one of the best players in Saints history, right? And he was a dirty work player for the Miami basketball team. He was a sixth man.
He wasn't, if I recall, he averaged like less than 10 points a game, if I'm not mistaken. He was not, he worked him a double zero, if I'm not mistaken, and he was not 20-10.
No, he was the scrappy guy, dude. He was the blue collar guy. I think he finished at the time, off the top of my head, he was like top 10 in blocks in career history. He was a rebounder and he was a defensive player, but he was like a scrappy dude in the ACC, like not even touching. He had no chance to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
What would LeBron have like in his career ends up being borderline Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
As a guy that was like a sixth man in the ACC. What would LeBron seriously like? He or Michael Jordan, whatever that debate is, best basketball player ever. He played football in high school and was
at a high level,
high school
football dominant player,
high level. He was probably a legit 6'7", 6'8", probably 260, 70 pounds. He could have been the best football player that ever lived.
He could have been dedicated, right?
How can your brain not go there? I mean, if you're just using Jimmy Graham as the benchmark and what his career in the NFL ended up being, what could LeBron have been? So yeah, back to it. NFL people shouldn't be. Come on. Those games are fun to play.
Yeah, I don't know if DJ Burns loves football. I don't know if he's ever had a chance to root for it. I don't even know. You know, we don't know. LeBron loves football. LeBron, I know just through Mav Carter and those guys, like they football's almost, you know, basketball is the job and the path, but like those guys on Sundays, that is what they do. They watch football. So you combine that. Does like, did George Fant love football, or was it like, this is a job when you interviewed him and you guys brought him in?
You know, I didn't sit with George then, but for him to have the career he's had, I would assume he either loved it or really liked it.
Yeah, I guess my question is like, if you're DJ Burns and your whole life has been basketball, 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 and it's like, yeah, but there's a meal ticket potentially for football. Do you need to have like an undying love for the sport to like pursue it? Or is it just, hey, this is the right decision financially? I guess that's a decision he's got to make, right?
Peter, you know this. I mean, there's a lot of guys that play in the NFL that don't love football.
We've had countless guys on Good Morning Football who, like, I try to talk about the league with, like, in commercial break, and, like, they don't even follow the NFL. Like, they don't even know who the good teams are. They don't even, and I'm almost humbled by that. I'm like, what an amazing athlete you are that you can just do what you do as a job and then, like, turn it off. That's incredible, you know?
Yeah, like, with those guys, and that's always the first question with guys that played both sports, right? And you hear about it. Like, you go into the school as a scout in the fall, and they'll tell you, like, this kid was more of a hooper in high school. Like, we don't know how much he loves football, but, you know, he's really good at it, so he does it. But what it does, it probably prevents you from hitting your ceiling as a player, right? Like, if you really loved it, then, like, you would be better. But just on your natural gifts alone, you can play it. And you can, a lot of these guys play a long time. But that's kind of, I don't think fans realize how many guys just don't love it.
Yeah. My last question on this multi-sport thing. I'll never forget. I want to say it was Tristan Wirfs, and there's a long line of them. And I know AJ Epineza was one of them. And of course, in recent years, Linderbaum, like wrestling. Football guys love wrestlers. They don't love basketball guys, but they love wrestlers. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely right. No, especially, you know, on the offensive defensive line. So for this year, Zach Frazier is a center at West Virginia.
Yep.
I think he was a four-time state champion in the state of West Virginia. Maybe lost one time as a freshman. Ridiculous record. So this is another a cool carryover. Now you're catching me off guard a little bit.
But yeah.
During my time with the Patriots, and I'm going to be blanking on this dude's name.
Okay.
He was a All-American wrestler at Cal State Bakersfield.
Okay, I'm going to look this up while you talk. All right.
Our college director, Larry Cook, from the New England Patriots, went up and went to the workout, went to the pro day, worked him out. We signed him as a free agent, or we drafted him late. I can't remember.
I'll tell you his name right now. And he's Stephen Neal. He was a great Patriot.
Stephen Neal. I'm sorry, Stephen. I'm having like a old guy moment right now. Yeah, on Stephen Neal.
He is Bakersfield's most decorated wrestler. And he now serves as the alumni relations coordinator for CSUB's wrestling program. A once in a lifetime story of wrestler who did not play college football and went into the NFL and had a storied NFL career.
Yeah, they don't have football at Cal State Bakersfield. They don't play football there. So again, he came in.
How do you find that? So how'd they find him?
I some agent probably just put it out that they were going to have a pro day. I don't know. I don't know how, but I'm sure a lot of teams came. Thank God Larry, you know, developed a relationship and signed him. But I remember the biggest thing for Steven was it wasn't strength. It wasn't toughness, obviously. His was just that aggressive nature, right? Because you're used to, that is such an aggressive sport. He had to rein himself in a little bit.
He had to tone it down.
Tone it down a little bit. On the football field, he would be so over-aggressive. He almost questioned the athlete a little bit because he was always out over his skis and he's, you know, on the ground. And then, you know, but our offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, was like, Jim, that's not athleticism. We just got to rein this guy in. And then, like you said, he came on. He was an all-time Patriot. I mean, this dude started so many games in a row. And again, it's nice when you have a Dante Scarnecchia, one of the greatest coaches ever, to help develop you. But I mean, obviously different sport, but there's another instance where the guy didn't play college football and ended up becoming a very good NFL player.
Yeah. I remember I used to do games with Matt Millen. I was his sideline reporter, and Matt loved college and high school, Pennsylvania, Penn State wrestling. And he would say, always give me a wrestler. Like, give me a wrestler. Give me someone who's going to get dirty. And I was like, that's so interesting. Because those two sports, like when you get those big boys, like a lot of those skills do translate. You mentioned the Patriots. I'm going to get you off script a little bit here. You worked there for many years. Did you get a chance to watch the documentary, The Dynasty?
I did. I've seen the first four episodes so far,
which was your era, right? That's when you were with them through those first.
Those first four episodes was about the time I was there. I actually caught myself in the background of a couple practice shots, and I felt really old because I looked a lot younger back then, but
still look good.
But it was really cool.
Okay, really cool, because obviously you've seen a lot of the, I would say almost, this is interesting. The Patriots dynasty, I almost break up into different chapters, almost four chapters of like, you know, the early first four Super Bowls that they went to, you know, including the Giants one. And then this, you know, change in guard a little bit. And then you've got these last 10 years, you can split in half of, you know, the Brady, you know, final couple Super Bowls and then post Brady. A lot of controversy around it. And even Robert Kraft at the league meetings had to like speak up on it. It was like, well, I'm not necessarily thrilled, which I'm not going to knock Robert Kraft from what he thought of it, but I believe he had production, you know, say in some of this stuff. And, you know, he was kind of being critical of it. Have you talked to, is there a text chain of all the old Patriots staffers or like you and Nick Caserio and Eric Mangini and whoever else like texting about how the thing was portrayed?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I've had some of those texts with some guys. Again, I wasn't in it. I'm sure the guys that are in are a little more hypersensitive to it. And you know what I do with the Patriots dynasty there, Peter? I break it down to the slot receivers. To me, it was the Troy Brown era.
I love
and
this.
And then it was the Wes Welker era. And then it was the Julian Edelman era. To me, those three guys kind of span the lifetime. But I don't know. For me, it was like a look back. You know, I saw Damian Woody put something out there on social media that he was watching it with his kids. You know, they obviously weren't around when Damian was a player. Sort of like see footage of him running out the tunnel at Gillette and all those things. Like, for me, it was like a retrospective, man. I was in like my mid-20s back then. I'm almost 50 now. So
think about that.
I watched the show through that lens, and it just brought back a lot of great memories. And I thought they did a great job. But shoot, man, I was no part of that content. So I know there's a lot of people that have issues with it, though.
So like the chief concerns are that, like, you know, Corey Dillon comes about as a, you know, not a troubled player, but a guy that just hadn't been able to win and was on the field, off the field, whatever, for the Bengals. Like, that was a big Bill Belichick move to bring in Corey Dillon. Like, LeGarrette Blount was the guy. A lot of the stories of guys that Belichick took a gamble on, and Randy Moss's obviously was less of a gamble given the player that he was, that stuff was lost. And some of Belichick's gumption to say, you know what, let's throw convention to the wind and let's try to win football. Like, there's a feeling that Belichick wasn't portrayed as well as he should have been as being one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the greatest. I could see that. I mean, there's so many great things that Bill and Scott did putting those teams together, kind of going out of limb. I mean, even like Rodney Harrison. I remember when they brought in Rodney Harrison, you know, I think Marty Schottenheimer was on record saying that, or maybe told Rodney this, and it got back to me through someone in the front office that, like, they told Rodney, man, you lost a step. Like, we don't think you got it anymore. Wow. So then you bring in a dude with a chip on his shoulder, and all Rodney did, I remember this stat vividly. In a six playoff game run, he forced seven turnovers. He created whether like forced fumbles, interceptions, fumble recovers, he was a part of seven turnovers in six playoff games, which to me is like the coolest stat ever. You know, you bring in guys that play big in big games. But I haven't finished it. I look forward to finishing it.
I haven't either. I've gotten six episodes in. I just finished the Aaron Hernandez episode. And I think that's what a lot of the Patriots are like. Yeah, that was a story in CNN. And it was a bigger story in our building. But like, if you're going to encapsulate 10 years of the Patriots or 20 years of the Patriots in 10 episodes, like, I don't know. And a lot of them, I know that like Rodney was upset because he did 5 hours of interviews and they got one clip in with him. I know Devin McCourty through Jason wasn't thrilled. They spent all day with him, multiple days. And, you know, that's really behind the scenes stuff. Like, for us, the viewers, like, it's candy to just watch old football and the greatness of the Patriots, for be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap, we're now April 2nd. Where are teams with their draft boards? Like, has Washington likely decided, okay, here's how we rank our quarterbacks? Or is that thing still fluid as they gather information?
I think it's still fluid. I was in Baton Rouge last week, and it was pretty cool because at the hotel we stayed at in Baton Rouge, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters were there, and then Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf were there. We're all down in the lobby, getting ready to go to Jaden Daniels' pro day the next day. You know, we're having drinks down there, and he's going to be on one of their two football teams, probably when we get to the fall. So, you know, they're just coming off that, right? Most of the teams let their families go home and have Easter with the family, and now they're bringing them all back in. So now, what you're doing? Most of these teams haven't met since post Senior Bowl. And they have not met since the combine, because you hit the ground running from the combine to pro days, right?
Yep.
So like their last meeting was, okay, let's debrief after Senior Bowl. How did all these guys look? Now let's go to the combine. Now they got to get back together. Okay, what did combine look like? What did pro days look like? What's the new information? You know, again, I think the lost part of pro day season is, yeah, you're there to get the numbers and see how the guys work out. But it's another opportunity for these scouts to go back into the buildings and not just meet with the player, but meet, you know, resource the building. Like we've met with the guy. We met with him in Mobile. We met with him at the pro day. Here's the questions we have left. Now you go back to the offensive coordinator or, you know, the custodians or whatever, you know, the equipment guy, whatever questions you have left, you can work the building again. So now they're all getting back in the building now. You're talking through all that stuff over probably the next 2 weeks. And then those final 2 weeks, it's just phone calls, you know, working strategy, working trades, and trying to really get the strategy part of the draft down is probably those final 2 weeks. But right now they're just debriefing after, you know, combine and pro days. So long-windedly answer you, Peter, I don't think the Commanders or the Patriots or any of those teams really know, you know, who their guy is yet.
Okay, here's an exercise we're going to do, because I think, honestly, Daniel Jeremiah, I think, is the best on TV. I think if we threw you on there, you'd be right up there with Daniel. And I think you've got as great an insight as anyone, having been, you know, the executive director of the Senior Bowl for all these years, but also you're just great in talking about these players in terms we can understand. I'm going to do a little game with you, and you can play along or just say, hey, Peter, I don't want to do this. I'm going to name the quarterback, and I'm going to say my concern with them. And then you're going to tell me whether it's a valid concern or say what you've heard about these guys with that concern. We good?
Yeah, great.
Jaden Daniels, his size and his build is too big of a concern to take at number two in the draft, in that if Bryce Young showed us anything, and I know Bryce Young is shorter, but build-wise, Daniels might not be bigger than 200 pounds. That build is not one that will last in the NFL. Your thoughts on that comment?
Okay. I think this is hole poking season, right?
Yes, it is.
So if that's the hole, it's a really small hole to poke. You know, Jaden, I think a lot was made of what he was at Arizona State. He's this slight build guy. He's gotten bigger and bigger.
Has he? Okay. I love that.
At Baton Rouge last week, I'm sitting in the auditorium, the team room, when Brian Kelly addressed all the NFL guys, and I'm sitting next to the LSU strength coach, and they weigh all the players in front of the assembly, and Jaden was 210.
Okay.
And I looked over at the strength coach. I'm like, is that what he played at in the fall? Is that the heaviest he's been? He's like, no, he was 212, 213.
Okay.
Tom Brady ended his career when he was going through all the TB12 stuff. I read places where he was like 215 pounds.
Okay.
You know, and nobody questioned that. So if Jaden's in that 210 to 215, he didn't get hurt in the SEC. He took a lot of big shots.
Yeah, he
in
did.
The SEC too. And if you look at the games played and games missed, student did miss a lot of time in the most physical league in college football. So I think that's a small hole to poke.
Interesting. He didn't measure at the combine to you. Is that a red flag?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know what these guys are doing now and what the agents are telling them to do. Like, why not remeasure? Why not? It's probably stupid. It's probably dumb. I get where the agents and the players are like, listen, I measured at the Senior Bowl. I measured at the combine. Like, why do I have to do it again? But I mean, that's not going to get them drafted or undrafted, or I don't think it's not going to move the needle with teams.
Okay. Drake May, inaccurate. Or the first year, what are your takes on that?
The inaccuracy part. Okay. I would say a lot of times accuracy stems from your feet.
Okay.
And Drake was working out down here in Mobile in the pre-draft process, with a guy by the name of David Morris. It was Bo Nix, and Drake May and Carter Bradley, who has a chance of getting drafted. Like Gus Bradley.
Senior Bowl guy. Yep.
Yeah. So, watching them work out, we go back in. I watch the field workout. We go back in. We watch video. And they took a video. So it's kind of close up. And I'm watching Drake throw. And I'm like, total idiot. I don't even think about the May family and what they are.
Yeah.
I look at Drake. I'm like, did you play hoops growing up? And he was like, yeah, I did. And I'm like, well, did you play through high school or did you stop in middle school? He's like, no, I played all the way through. And then someone was like, well, Jim, like his whole family played hoops in North Carolina. I'm like, I totally forgot.
Got it. Yeah. His brother had the big game-winning shot that time. Yeah.
Yeah. This dude, for a guy his size, he has incredible feet. Okay. So is there things he can do mechanically, you know, in terms of like shortening the release to tighten that up? Absolutely. And again, obviously everyone points to Josh Allen is a guy that you can correct some inaccuracy stuff with. I just think when they're athletic enough, like Josh Allen, we all know what kind of athlete he is. Drake May is a similar type of athlete. I mean, his feet are really bouncy for a big guy. So it would not be a concern of mine.
All right. Last one. JJ McCarthy, 18 teammates at the combine, and Sharon Moore called 32 straight run plays in a game and he didn't throw the ball once. Is that a red flag to you?
No, that's Sharon Moore in a really hostile visiting environment at Penn State wanting to just assert his will on the other team. So that's what I would say, you know. And yeah, did JJ have a lot of great players around him? He certainly did. But he didn't have, I mean, look at who Jaden Daniels threw the
ball. Neighbors and Thomas, right? I mean, like those are two top wideouts.
No question. I mean, you just go back over some of these quarterbacks and who they're throwing to.
Even Joe Burrow had Chase and Jefferson, right?
Right. And Mac Jones had, you know, Devontae Smith and Waddle and all those guys, Judy and all those guys. So, and JJ didn't have that. JJ didn't have, like, Roman Wilson's a really good player. Yeah. And they got some young guys, but he didn't have that outside. So, again, that's the easy knock. All I know is that JJ has only lost 3 football games in his life.
That includes high school? Okay.
High school and college. The kid has lost 3 games as a starter. It's a big enough sample size. He's been a 2-year starter. He's got crazy tools. So I'll share one quick story from Pro
Day. I love this. All right.
I'm at Baton Rouge last week. I'm standing next to a GM. I wasn't at Caleb Williams Pro Day. I wasn't at JJ McCarthy's Pro Day, but this GM was, right? So Jaden finishes up his workout. I thought it was impressive. The dude can freaking fire it off his hand. I mean, it's really impressive. I'm like, well, where does this stack up in the 3 you've seen? And his rank was JJ McCarthy, then Jaden Daniels, then Caleb Williams, just off the pro day. Okay.
Okay.
So what do pro days show? Pro days show physical tools. They show the physical potential of a guy and what he can do, you know, mobility, arm strength, all those things, right? That's what pro days is about. Physically, what is this guy? Tools. JJ obviously has them if a GM has seen those 3 workouts and he puts him up there as the top guy. So, I mean, that's why everyone's asked me in some of the podcasts, like, is this JJ McCarthy stuff real? I think it is. You know, I think that the media is playing catch up a little bit. And I think the league's playing. I think the league's diving more into JJ. Yeah. They didn't know if he was going to come out or not. Huh. So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I dispelled or
you did. Did a great job.
To rest, but that's,
what do you make of Harbaugh rallying the flag around him so much? You're a Michigan man. Like, what is that? When he comes out and is like, he's the number one quarterback in this draft and says all these things, like, does that, to me, it's like, I roll my eyes a little bit. I'm like, of course you're his college coach, but what do you make of that? Harbaugh putting his name on it. Like, this is the guy.
Well, I'll say this, and so much respect for Jim Harbaugh and what he's done his whole career. And he brought a national championship to my alma mater, which was awesome. But he's in a great situation right now. He's got Justin Herbert in his
No one's wondering if he's drafting him at 5.
So,
yeah.
So he doesn't have to put his money where his mouth is, right? Like, he can say it. And I'm sure Jim believes all this stuff. I mean, shoot, you win a national championship with people. You talk to players and coaches. You win a national championship or a Super Bowl with a group of men. Like, that's pretty special. And you're going to have special feelings about those guys. So I'm sure Jim believes every word he's saying. But again, he doesn't have to draft him now because he's got Justin.
Okay. I want to talk about the Masters with you because you're a golf guy and you might be attending, but maybe we'll do that next week or a week after that and we'll get the full recap. In the meantime, keep on doing what you're doing and I'll be following you on Twitter or X, but also I'll be talking with you. Thank you so much for joining. This is really illuminating stuff, especially on DJ Burns, and we're less than a month away, dude. And then I know you're already into Senior Bowl 2025. I know it.
We are. Yeah, we started that. But yeah, this was awesome, Peter. Thanks for having me back on.
You're the man. Jim Nagy, executive director of Reese's Senior Bowl. And I saw it firsthand, the unofficial mayor of Mobile, Alabama. Thank you, dude.
Thanks, man.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I'm validated. DJ Burns could get an NFL shot here, Aaron, based on what Jim's saying?
Yeah, I mean, so I had seen your tweet. I then saw your tweet posted multiple times, like in the NFL subreddit, in the Bills subreddit, like Bills fans were like, oh, I wonder if this guy could work, you know, for us. So not only, I think, was there a lot of external validation, then having Jim come in here and talk about it and talk about his buddy who also had been keeping an eye on him. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yes.
And his footwork is amazing.
It is. And like the sophistication of these NFL front offices, we go big on how they use analytics and all this stuff, but there are holes. And Jim says it, like, they're not watching college hoops. So yes, it's possible this guy played in the ACC and played at Winthrop and was the Big South Conference Player of the Year last year, 2 years ago, and still was not discovered by an NFL scout. And Jim has a friend who's in the research triangle who says, yes, I've been keeping an eye on him. But like, yeah, like a tournament run. I remember George Mason. I remember Jai Lewis. This is a big man who had some, you know, a great couple games. They beat UConn and Rudy Gay, and it was 2006, and George Mason makes this run, and he was their big man, and he got a tryout with the Giants. I think he even signed a deal with the Giants, and he had, you know, no football, you know, history as a football player in college. So I think it's fascinating. I also thought the reaction was fascinating, which I kind of hit on with Jim there. Like, people were really triggered by it. And a lot of people thought it was an April Fool's joke. I don't get that. Why would that be an April Fool's joke? The guy is 6'7" and 300 pounds. Like, that's a football player's body.
I think you kind of can't post anything on April 1st. Like, if you say anything, people are going to think maybe it's fake.
Totally.
But yeah, I, you know, it is like, for whatever reason, it's always a news story if some team is like, we're signing a former rugby player because he's never played American football, but we think he's got the athletic ability to do this. And it's a big news story when it doesn't necessarily need to be. And this is just like in the lead up to the draft where we've spent so much time arguing about Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. And all of a sudden, here's this guy coming out of nowhere who plays basketball. And it's like, wait, you're screwing up what I had in my head of like, who are the important potential offensive linemen in this draft? And now there's this new guy. So I can see how people could find a way to be upset about something that's not worth being upset about.
Got it. In closing, I think I'm going to go see Tim Robinson tonight at Beacon Theater. Are you a fan?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was doing a thing at the Beacon.
Show. I have no idea what it entails. I was asked if I wanted to go, and I think I'm going to go. It's pouring rain, but I will have a full recap on our next podcast. As Aaron is now looking through a stack of t-shirts, and it appears he probably has a Tim Robinson t-shirt, and it is, yep, there we go. There it is. There it is. It's a reference to the Netflix
show. The bones of their money.
There we go. I love it. I'll give you a full recap over text on it.
Awesome.
Aaron Wong Kaufman, Jason English, the iHeart team. Let's get these social media clips out. Let's go viral. Let's make news. Let's continue on with the season with Peter Schrager. I so appreciate you guys. Everyone listening, hope you enjoyed.
The Season with Peter Schrager is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.